Welcome, friends. This is James Corbett, CorbettReport.com. It's the 13th of March, 2013 here in Japan, and today we're joined on the line from the U.S. by our good friend, the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Jack Blood of DeadlineLive.info, and of course, Jack Blood of the eponymous Jack Blood Show on the No Agenda Global Radio stream, NoAgendaStream.com. Jack, always great to have you on the program. Thanks for joining us.
What did you call me?
I'm not sure I could repeat that if I tried.
Eponymous? What the hell? Hey, Mr. James, as we say here in the South. Good to be with you, as always.
It's good to have you here, Mr. Jack. So why don't we start talking about an interesting subject, and I remember one of the last times I had you on, I said that one day I'd be doing a podcast episode on the subject of pirate internet and trying to get around the internet censorship and the collapse of the internet that we can see coming down in the future. And you said I should have you on because you've done some work on this yourself in the past. So here you are, and here I am. I'm putting out that podcast episode later this week. Why don't we talk a little bit about the internet? And unfortunately, this is the way that you and I have been getting the word out to people in the past, but it is under threat. It's in jeopardy. And as we know from all of the different SOPA and PIPA and ACTA and other four-letter words that they've tried to shove down our throats in recent years, I don't think they're going to stop anytime soon until they get what they want. So let's talk a little bit about this censorship and how people can get around it.
Those four and five letter words, they're very tricky. Executive order. Let's count the letters in that one. Yeah, I probably did say that. And it's such an important issue. You know, I did bring that up in the last podcast we did, James, because I'm thinking that a lot of people are distracted by various issues, whether it be the Oscars, Argo today. The New Zealand Lords of Parliament have sought to rebuke Argo because they didn't come out very good in it. Iran is about to sue them, and then there's Zero Dark 30. No, a lot of people get very distracted. We call them weapons of mass distraction, and I think one of the key things to look at is the last vestige of freedom, which is the internet. And if it goes the way of radio and TV, we're going to have internet police. So it is important. Should we build the case first, or, you know, put the solutions before the problem? Should we keep it in Hegelian order here? How do you want to do it?
No, let's explain it why this is important for people out there who are not up on this issue.
Well, if you're old enough to remember, there was a time in radio where you could say or do anything. You could have 50,000 watt blowtorch clear channel stations where the Wolfman Jack could, you know, broadcast from Chicago, and it could get deep into Mexico. And they had to start putting in parameter laws and started legislating radio. And next thing you know, you have the radio police. And I'm sure at some point, going back into time, people thought, well, they'll never regulate the radio. How can you regulate this? It's just airwaves. You know, it's just radio waves. Can't be done. Sure enough, they did it. And they did it with money. They did it with staking out their property. Now, as you know, and thanks to the Clinton-Gore Deregulation Act back in the 90s, you know, a guy can own a newspaper, a TV station, and several radio stations in one market. So it's been completely centralized. And with that comes the radio police and the TV police, but it's more a money thing, isn't it? Because if I've got enough money, I can buy radio properties. I was in the business of trading and selling radio properties back in a former life, James, in the 90s. And I could tell you that there isn't a lot of space for just regular people like James Corbett or Jack Blood or your listeners to get on and to express their opinions, their ideas, and to chime in. You're really at the mercy of if Sean Hannity takes your phone call or not. He cuts you off in the middle of your sentence, which you don't do, thankfully. So when we get to the internet, this is really the last frontier. People have called it the Wild West, and that is the reason they want to regulate it, because what happened in the Wild West, people died. Well, people die. That's freedom. It's messy sometimes. So what are we going to do to protect it? And the president came out in the last STFU speech, as I call it, that's the shut the F up speech, otherwise known as the State of the Union. And while he was going through his litany of things he's going to spend money on and how he's going to control and socially engineer and centrally plan our economy, he began announcing that he had signed, and we had got out in front of this story, and he had signed an executive order to bring CISPA back, cybersecurity back by via executive order. This is something that people spoke about in America. They said no. And the so-called selective representatives, as I call them, they bowed to that pressure. They heard the consensus. Everybody wants to be reelected, and nobody wanted to go up against the people, and they didn't want SOPA, they didn't want CISPA, they didn't want any of that, and it died a horrible death. It was a massive victory for we the people. This is a Jay Rockefeller pet project. He's going out of West Virginia. He's going out of the Senate this year. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we got down to ground zero, but Obama has come to rescue us. First of all, we should know there's no such thing as security. It's an illusion. It's just the way they control you. Security is just another word for control. So when we hear cybersecurity, James, we should hear cyber control. That's simply it. So he's going to bypass the people. He's going to bypass the Congress. This is the essence and the definition of a dictator. And he's going to bring us cybersecurity. Lo and behold, I know it's just a giant coincidence. We're all amazed. The next day, there was several attacks on our internet infrastructure. This, like the sequester, though. They said, well, the air traffic control won't work, and there'll be long lines in the airport, and there won't be enough police, and we're going to have to fire all the teachers, and poor people won't get any subsistence or any help. And that's the threats that we were getting for cybersecurity. So right on cue, we were attacked by Anonymous and by China. As I mentioned on the last podcast we did, last time I was attacked by China, it was synchronous with being attacked by Halliburton. Literally, I was attacked by Halliburton because we traced the IP addresses back to both Halliburton and China at the exact same time. So who is China when they attack us? So the next day, after he announces this big executive order, he's going to bring CISPA back for us again. We were attacked. We had a cybersecurity emergency. And a lot of people, just like the 20 dead children from Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, a lot of people are looking at this and saying, this is something we just don't know enough about. We kind of have to go along with it. And what kind of a fight do we have? We put up that fight, we won, and then there's an executive order. So there are, from Maurice Strong with many networks, one, trying to get corporations to take over the network. There are a lot of ploys being put out there to regulate the telecom companies, and the government's going to save us from the telecom companies. We know the telecom companies hire the politicians with lobbyist money, so that there's a conflict of interest there. You know, we're getting all of this noise that we need to be very fearful about what can happen to us on the internet. We could catch a virus. We could have somebody, a Russian mafia guy, break into our bank account. We could have one of these cyber stalkers, you know, attacking our children and luring our children out. I mean, there's just so many fearful aspects to why people won't stand up against this and why they don't understand the totality of what we're up against. So that is what we're up against. You can add anything you'd like to that, but we have to understand that this is a major form of communication that is mostly unregulated. It is still the Wild West, and I don't want to see it legislated. I don't think there's enough damage done to justify legislating our free speech on the internet. And that's kind of where we are. Do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's exactly right. I think you hit on all of the key points. And I think they've floated and tried various ideas in the past, like, we have to keep the internet safe for children from predators, etc. They've tried that type of rhetoric in the past. That hasn't gone so well with the public. So now they're trying Chinese hacking. They'll try whatever it takes until they can get that claw into the internet. And I think we all know how that process works. As you say, with radio, with every other medium that's come along that's been empowering to the people, it hasn't been long until the authorities have started to regulate it. So it is expected. And unfortunately, we have seen this coming with SOPA and ACTA and PIPA and the TPP and all of these other trade deals and treaties that we have more or less transparency to see into, etc., before it's actually enacted. And all of these executive orders and all of the precedents that's setting. But it gives people, I think, the impression that every time the multi-billion-dollar corporations in collusion with the governments they puppeteer come out with a new piece of legislation that would seek to clamp down on the internet, we all have to rally against that piece of legislation and then knock that down and then wait for the next one. And that doesn't seem like a very satisfying way of dealing with the issue. So what do you think in terms of a more fundamental way of actually getting at this problem?
Well, I'm sorry it's not satisfying, but that's reality. It is incremental. It's a war of attrition. We found this out by fighting the Trans-Texas Corridor, the NAFTA highway. And they drug that thing out for years. And we kept coming back and we kept putting on the pressure and we didn't give up and we won. Now, you'll say that they'll come back again. That's what we're up against. That's the fight. Everybody needs to understand that. It doesn't go away. You have to keep fighting. I don't know where this came from. There's some kind of a silver bullet, James Corbett. Is there one for all of this? That we win tomorrow by doing one thing? We don't. We have to keep going all the time.
Have you looked into the idea of decentralizing telecom and mesh wireless networks?
Yes, I'm for decentralization on all of those levels.
Well, then I would posit that would be one way that we could get out of this without having to just wait for the companies to come along and regulate
our
internet.
Okay, but they're not just going to give us decentralization. Decentralization works in the hands of the controllers. This is what the Federal Reserve is all about. It's centralized itself to be the world's bank. It's even bypassed the Bank of International Settlements. I know you've done all of this research, so that's the fight we're in. They constantly seek to centralize, and we need to constantly seek to decentralize. But going back to the internet, look, I mean, it's about downloading. We did a story years ago when Nick Berg was beheaded. I got in a lot of trouble for this. And we had found that GoDaddy.com and something called the Arab Press House, and there were some major heavyweights that were responsible for helping to upload the Nick Berg beheading video. It wasn't done from a cave in Afghanistan. I think that's common sense. Well, the campaign against us was huge. We were sued by international law firms. I had personal threats. I had some violence in my life. I mean, it definitely put the little bit of fear into my family, and we realized we really must have hit a nerve. And one of the things we were saying is that, well, GoDaddy.com, which is now, I believe, was purchased about a year ago from KKR, we're following some of the work of these venture capitalists. We're going to see a group like Apollo or KKR or the Carlyle Group or Bain. We know some of the bigger ones. We don't know the smaller ones, and they're not so small. I think they bought GoDaddy. But what we had said was that, well, you know, Al-Qaeda can upload these videos with no problem, and they're even going to get help from the Arab Press House, which was at the time the Al Jazeera of the Middle East, or GoDaddy. But they're going to come in, and they can do that, but they're going to come in, and they're going to arrest a 13-year-old girl for downloading a song. So you can see where the priorities are. The priorities aren't for cyber security. It's for cyber control. So it's copyright infringement because I'm posting stories from a major news service and I'm getting the hits that maybe they think they should get, or that we're saying something that is not mainstream and the establishment doesn't like, so they're going to punish us. Or we've got plenty of stories on my website about how you could have a virus and they can just shut your entire system down, your website. We've got, God, I think it might have been Chuck Hagel, who's now the defense secretary recently in the United States of America, that said him or Orrin Hatch, I'm sorry, I don't have the exact name. It's one of those guys that can push a button and they can just destroy your computer. That's actually happened to me, that I got such a bad Trojan, such a bad virus that I lost 3 computers in 3 months. And one of them was brand new out of the box. These are the things that they'll do to combat free speech on the internet. So now what realms will they go to? Well, as you've reported and I've reported, they have basically the Internet Patriot Act already written and the Internet Pearl Harbor basically planned. It's just like rolling out Osama bin Laden's body. It's got to be just, well, whatever his body is, it's just got to be, you know, done at the right time. And so the right time is coming. And this year is one of the things we would predict, that there would be enough carnage on the internet. Enough people would get hurt. There would be enough concern that Obama could get through an executive order, such as, you know, recalibrating CISPA cybersecurity with executive order. So now we get to the question of, well, what's going to happen next? Where are the casualties going to be? And I think we've already seen them. I think we see them all the time when people's YouTubes are deleted. This is Google. This is Google. Google is a branch of the shadow government. No, Eric Schmidt, Google, look it up. They're actually, I believe they moved their campus to the NASA property. And this is, I guess it's a little complicated, James, but we see that the biggest holders of Facebook is nothing more than NSA and the CIA, and they gather intelligence from everything you say and do. That the most of the infrastructure of the internet is government. It is the powers that be, or the New World Order. Yet still, with all of this against us, we still seem to be edging them out. This Rand Paul filibuster and how that, you know, got a momentum on Twitter and Facebook, and how that kind of expelled and even put pressure on the old guard like McCain and Lindsey Graham, the AIPAC whores. You know, these are things that the powers that be don't like, and they've been fighting and they think they're winning. And then the next thing you know, there's a trend and they're not. And these guys realize that they can all be taken out tomorrow by a really good Facebook post. So then that's the problem. So now we get to the reaction part, right?
Yes. Well, that's what's coming down the line. And the question, more so than the reaction, I guess, is really what the average person, the individual out there, can do to protect themselves and what they're doing online.
The reaction part is the media says something must be done, something must be done. And there's a lot of people hand-wringing and boo-hooing and crying, and people start feeling less safe. And, you know, maybe their bank account got tinged for $10 and they're just all in. When we get to the point where money is now not, you know, a fiat piece of paper, but it's a credit on your cell phone, it's going to be even more important and even more dangerous. So that's the reaction. We get to the solution part of all of this. Well, obviously, we've got to stand up to the people that we hire, our so-called trusted representatives, and we need to make sure that they understand where the will of the people is, the consensus might be, that if they want to be elected or reselected, if they want to stay in power, they've got to listen to this. And I think there's enough of us out there from all spectrums of the political spectrum that can speak up on this, and that's how we won CISPA and SOPA in the past. Beyond that, we are looking at a case where we need to start building pirate wireless internet hubs and stashing that stuff away, testing it out, and getting that stuff tried and true, because it might come to a point where we've got to have a pirate internet.
Now that's music to my ears, because I think that's exactly what people can do with the technology they already have sitting in their home, and there are groups out there that are working to make that happen. Have you had anyone on to talk about this idea before?
Not for a while, because we were really riding a wave of pirate radio here, James, as you might know, several years back, and I saw the power of that. When we put a 100-watt transmitter in Austin, Texas, we had more listeners than the mainstream Clear Channel stations, because that's how hungry people were for the information that we were putting out. And we were, again, subjected to the internet police. They'd come to your door. And, you know, they don't have to have any probable cause per se. They come to your door and they threaten you. We're not only going to take all your equipment, but everything else you own. This is where this is going to go. Not to scare anyone away from this, but this is where this is going to go. It's garage-style music, garage-style radio stations, and garage-style internet. So what we're going to need, and I already know people that are putting this together. In fact, my network is really good at this, operating off of their own servers. We need to, you know, figure out and investigate and find the best way to transmit wireless. And how it's going to work is there's going to be multiple hubs that can be connected together. We used to call them in the pirate radio business slaves. You'd put up a pirate radio station, but you'd pick up programming from a central broadcaster. That would be your network or my network, or you can put together with programmers a variety of talk radio or music or art or entertainment or whatever you want, and you can broadcast it, and people can do this right now, and not for a ton of money. But I'm just saying, now we need to start getting ready for this, because I don't see the internet being free literally for the next 5 years. I think in the next couple of years, we're going to lose major freedoms on the internet. I mean, we already have. And again, it's like the president's assassination list. Oh, really? This is news? The government has been assassinating people forever. It's not news. It's just that it's kind of more in your face. So there are stretches. There are things we can take, actions we can take to gather the equipment together, to test the equipment. And so what it's going to look like is, from my house, I have a certain amount of servers that can hold a certain amount of information. I am able to transmit via wireless technology to anyone else who's on wireless. It's an open source transmission, and anyone can pick that up. And then what I'll do is I'll hook into the next city, and then the next city, and the next city, and the next piece of information. The problem with this is it is super decentralized. You might not be able to have the reach and the power you have now with Google and with YouTube and with Facebook. It's not going to be the same as that, but we're talking about something rather than nothing. And I hope it doesn't get to this point, but this is exactly where I think we're going. So we take the precaution that we're able to put together our own hubs from Atlanta here to Japan over there, and we're able to connect these hubs. Now, what will happen, do you think, James? The internet police will come knocking on your door and threaten to confiscate all your equipment?
Undoubtedly, I would say that if and when this starts to happen on a big scale, they're going to crack down on it like they always
do. It's a lot harder. It's a lot more complicated from my research and a lot harder to track down that wireless signal than it was the radio signal.
Well, agreed. And at this point, at any rate, there's no laws about having open networks going. So absolutely, I think that this is something that's going to be a lot harder to crack down on if and when that time comes. And you're exactly right that we have to start getting ready now before the crackdown comes, because it's just too late to do it in an ad hoc position after the crash.
With radio, the excuse was to crack down on a pirate radio station was that you were infringing on a commercial frequency. So somebody bought, it's life, liberty, and property, right? We have to be able not to be hypocrites, to honor for free market people, to honor property. So somebody bought that frequency and they're on 90.5 and you're on 90.1. And at some point, maybe you infringe on their frequency. That's the whole excuse. It's not because you swear. It's not because of what you say. The whole excuse of the FCC, and by the way, Sebastian Janikowski, the head of the FCC, he's the shadow head, I think, now of the FCC, was Obama's schoolmate. So there you go. I mean, there's more conflicts of interest and collusion in politics. But the whole excuse to shut down your pirate radio station is that you are infringing on someone else's property. Now, if I'm broadcasting wireless internet, a rogue wireless internet signal, whose property am I actually infringing upon? So they won't have that excuse, James.
No, they won't. But they're pretty good at inventing excuses. So we'll see what happens when and if that time comes. But I think the first thing to do is to mobilize people along this idea and to get them thinking about what they can actually do with the technology they already have. Some pretty interesting ideas out there. So I will be talking about this more on my podcast on Friday. So I'll have some ideas up my sleeve for that. But you also,
it's more expensive. I wish I could recommend somebody that's actually doing this. That's why we're here talking about it, because not enough people are thinking ahead into this fashion. I'm glad you are. I think this is the way to protect ourselves. That being said, can we at least as a people realize that this form of communication has got to be one of the most important things that we're doing? Could we at least stand up for ourselves on this? I don't know what could be more important.
Well, at the very least, I have been heartened to see, if that's a word, I'm not sure, but I have been pleased to see the way that people have rallied around the internet when they realized and thought that it was being threatened. There's been actual activism going on, and people have been actually excited about this. Even people from all parts of the spectrum, the political spectrum, they have been able to unite around this idea when we saw, for example, the SOPA and PIPA protests and all of that. So there is hope, I think, on this issue, at the very least, to unite people more.
Look at the Federal Reserve, though. Remember, we had a national bank being proposed at the same time as a central bank. Those were the choices that people had. And so I look at this and I look at this at the internet and I think, well, you know, people are going to look and say, you know, they're going to get something like net neutrality, which is the perfect Trojan horse. You remember that when that thing came up, and I'm one of the people that fell for it. Net neutrality basically meant we have to take the power away from the telecoms and give it to the government. The government will help regulate the telecoms out of the internet to give us our free speech.
Ha ha ha.
And yeah, that was the time when you open the door and the government gets its foot in the door and then you can't close the door again. And this was really insidious and really sneaky. So we have to be super careful that the solutions that are coming forward are going to be real solutions. I just think that the easiest thing is to not do anything, not to have any legislation on the internet, and to go ahead and take our chances. Now let's be, I know you're almost out of time, but let's all think about this very clearly. The Pentagon, the State Department, the United States government, the infrastructure of the United States government, or any government, if it doesn't have the appropriate people, the firewalls, the technology, because God knows they have all of our money, if they can't protect us with that, then how should we think they're going to protect us through a more regulated, more sophisticated, and more fascist internet? So we have to ask these questions before we go ahead and allow them to provide the solutions, right? Because they should have some of the best people in the world. They're protecting our resources. And it's just not an excuse, though we know when you build a smarter mousetrap, you get a smarter mouse. I understand. Hey, look, a lot of the cyber hackers out there do work for governments, at least on a shadow capacity. But ultimately, if they can't protect their own infrastructure, if they can't protect their own privacy, how can we expect them ever to protect ours?
Hold on. I'm just writing this down on my calendar. Today is the day that Jack Blood made the argument that no laws would be better than having the government involved. That sounds like an anarchic argument to me.
At least in this case.
Sure. we'll convert you yet, Jack.
I cannot think, no, because we're talking about cyberspace. I cannot think of one place where, and we have to protect ourselves, right? What is the main problem? It's identity theft. It's, again, the luring of your children by predators on the internet. I mean, this is what I think the average American thinks about. I don't think, you know, if they're thinking a whole lot, there might be a small percentage, you know, the 14% that will fall for anything. But I think the majority of the people out there expect a government that can, you know, fly satellites around the earth or all the complex things that are happening, that they can't do this, that they can't protect themselves. But if they can't protect themselves, they certainly can't protect us. So, hey, I'm not really as much of a status as you might think. I just know when you're in the streets, it's much easier to hurt people in a way that's unfair than on the internet. You can protect yourself on the internet. There's certain measures you can take and firewalls you can put up, and you don't do your banking online. It's just a lot of things you can do to protect yourself. And those are the things they're going to use to scare the old ladies and the old men out there. What did Bukowski say? Charles Bukowski, the great writer, that laws are for old ladies crossing the street. And in this case, laws are for old ladies using the internet. And for the children, as always. So, yes, in this case, I am absolutely an anarchist.
All right. Well, a lot of extremely important stuff for people to cogitate on. I hope we're going to get some response from this from people out there who are already starting to think along these lines or are starting to. And again, if anyone has any ideas or things that they think I should be including in my podcast episode, by all means, send it in through my website, CorbettReport.com. But on that note, we should direct people, of course, back to DeadlineLive.info and the Jack Blood Show. Tell people about what you've been working on recently.
Well, let me just say, start investing in the hardware. Get that, put that stuff. I mean, people, there's a lot of doomsday preppers out there. Put that hardware, the stuff, the hard equipment you're going to need to be your own internet radio station, your own internet hub. Start investigating that and putting, you know, little bit by little bit, put it away. And if you can't use it, somebody else will be able to use it. And that might be the coin of the realm. That might be the gold of the future, James, is these kinds of things, which, who knows, may even be outlawed going forward. I'm at deadlinelive.info. People can Google or put in their search engine the Jack Blood Show, and you can catch us. We're on Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. in the morning till 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time out of Atlanta, Georgia, various times throughout the day. And I took a week off last week, James, and I spent a whole day just playing James Corbett podcasts for the listeners. It was great.
I'm not sure that's exactly relaxed time, but I'm glad to hear it.
They probably listened and said, did James Corbett just take Jack Blood's spot? I know he's doing a really good job, but I mean, this is going too far. No, I love doing it. And you do such a great job. And we tell everybody about you all the time. And I want your listeners to do the same thing. Spread the word, because James really knows what he's talking about.
Excellent. Well, I always enjoy being on your show, so I'm looking forward to next time. Lots of great stuff for people to think about. Once again, deadlinelive.info is the place to go for all things Jack Blood related. Jack, it's always great to have you on the program. Thanks for your time.
As always, faster than the speed of thought, stay bold, my friend. Mighty forces will come to your aid.